Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
The time in West Africa is 5 minutes past seven. Here in Bonn, Germany, it's 5 minutes past eight. A very good morning to you. My name is Mark Caldwell. On this edition of Africa Link, in Botswana, President Ian Kahama sees off an opposition challenge and is returned to power. What are the hopes and aspirations for his second term?
We are looking at him addressing unemployment in the country. We also hope that he will address the declining education level.
And 800,000 public sector workers go on strike in Ghana, with hospitals being hit hard by the stoppage.
I don't think strike will solve issues. I believe in dialogue, you understand? And it's very important for the leadership of the various unions to dialogue with the government and see how best they can solve this issue.
Those stories and more coming up in the next 25 minutes on this edition of Africa Link.
Top story.
In Botswana, President Ian Kahama has been re-elected, the ruling BDP party having secured a majority in last Friday's general election. The poll had been billed as the most challenging for the ruling party since independence in 1966. Opposition parties made inroads, with the BMD winning seats that were once strongholds of the BDP. Femelo Ramazu is a local journalist in the capital, Habarone, and my colleague Isaac Mugabe asked her if the elections were free and fair.
I believe they were free and fair. We haven't heard enough too many complaints from those who were contesting their constituencies. So I believe everything went well.
And what is the mood in the capital, Habarone?
Habarone right now, it's really hectic. You know, you can imagine how it will feel when the opposition almost takes the whole town. People are excited, the opposition is excited, and we can only hope for the best.
I understand the opposition held a rally this Sunday. What was it all about?
I believe that the main issue that they were talking about was their victory. I mean, they've been campaigning for so many months, they've been trying to get votes from the youth and the whole nation. So the main issue that they could have been talking about was that win and the way forward.
What do ordinary people of Botswana expect from President Ian Kahama?
We are looking at him addressing youth unemployment in the country. We also hope that he will address the declining education levels. And we are sure that he will keep pushing his pet project, you know, the poverty eradication project that he's very passionate about.
And why is he not so popular in urban centers, especially the capital?
I'm not really sure about why he's not very, very popular. Perhaps in the, you know, the rural areas, because our elders, our grandmothers, they've been voting for the BDP for so many years. And the level of education when it comes to politics is not that too much. So in the urban areas, that's where you have so many youth who have their own opinions about politics.
Femelo Ramazu, Botswana is often praised as one of Africa's success stories and has a reputation for stability and clean governance. But as Isaac Mugabe heard from Ralph Matega, an independent analyst in neighbouring South Africa, it is a reputation which Botswana does not entirely deserve.
One of the challenges that Botswana has had to deal with is the reality that Western countries continue to actually assess Botswana as one of the most democratic countries and stable countries in the Southern Hemisphere. But the reality is that this kind of an assessment seems not to include the sentiment and the feeling of the people in Botswana, because generally, if you look at what is happening on the ground in Botswana, Botswana hardly makes it as an open democracy. There is a great deal of intolerance of the opposition parties in Botswana. And for anyone who wants to assess Botswana independently, you can't arrive at the conclusion that Botswana is a multi-party democracy. There is a one political party that has kept stability. So you can have stability, but there is a difference between stability that comes from a single political party and stability that comes from multi-party democracy. And that of Botswana has been somehow an infusion or a confusion of the two.
The current president, General Ian Kamah, has come under pressure due to what the opposition calls increasingly authoritarian leadership style. Isn't this bound to destabilize the country?
Well, you will try, but the problem is that if you try to stabilize the country from the point of view of saying that people are united, against a common vision, while you know that you have not made any effort to build that kind of a vision, you know, the whole thing runs thin, because clearly the president, Ian Khama, might come forth and say that he's capable of stabilizing the country. The fact actually is that Botswana might be stabilized, but it's not stabilized on the basis of the common vision that the people believe in, but seems to be stabilized on the basis of suppression of civil rights. And then if you do that, if you suppress a country and build a common vision on the basis of suppression of civil rights, it's not going to last too long. And I think that Western countries have to start asking hard questions about whether it's Botswana an open democracy. Do you have civil society in Botswana? Do you have openness when it comes to how Botswana, and accountability when it comes to how the regime in Botswana, the government in Botswana, integrate and interfaces with the people? I'm afraid this question cannot answer in affirmation as we speak. Botswana remains largely towards a repressive approach.
Ralph Matega in South Africa. You're listening to Deutsche Welle's Africa Link for West Africa. You can hear this program via shortwave, FM partner stations, and online at dw.de.
Get the stories that are shaping the continent here on Africa Link.
In Ghana, 800,000 public sector workers have gone on strike. They include hospital staff, with the result that millions of Ghanaians are facing restrictions in medical care. The stoppage was triggered by a dispute with the government over pensions. From Accra, Isaac Kelechi reports.
I am at the La General Hospital, in a suburb of Ghana's capital, Accra. There is little activity here due to the ongoing strike by over 12 labor unions, including the Health Workers Union. The workers are striking over their pension contributions. They want their second-tier pension contributions to be managed by a private fund manager of their choice. The government is saying no to that request, although the Pensions Act in Ghana backs the demands of the workers. Patients visiting the outpatients department of this health post are hit hard by the strike. Papa Echo is one of them. He's here with his brother, who is nursing a wound on his leg. But he tells me doctors are unwilling to attend to him because of the strike.
Right now they say we should wait, so that if it is anything, then...
Right now they say we should wait. If it is anything, they will let us know. So right now we have nothing to say. His leg got swollen and they admitted him to operate on it.
That they will operate on the leg.
The General Secretary of the Ghana Medical Association, Dr. Frank Sribo, explains to me that to ameliorate the current situation, doctors will attend to only emergency cases.
We held a meeting with all the other health workers, the nurses, the pharmacists, and so forth. Even though we are protesting that our tier 2 pensions have not been released to us, there is no need to endanger the lives of Ghanaians unnecessarily.
The Employment and Labour Relations Minister, Haruna Idrisu, has been touring some of the health posts to assess the impact of the ongoing strike.
Just assessing what the needs may be in evaluating the action of the forum for withdrawing their services, because essential services are very important and critical to government, so that if we have to work out an emergency response initiative, we would be advised by what is on the ground.
Not all striking workers are happy with the current situation.
I don't think strike will solve issues. I believe in dialogue, you understand? And it's very important for the leadership of the various unions to dialogue with the government and see how best they can solve this issue.
Government, in an attempt to bring a closure to the matter, has sued the striking workers. It wants a court to determine the legitimate entity to manage the pension contributions of the workers.
Isaac Kalidji reporting. Let's return now to Southern Africa. This month, South Africa has been marking the 37th anniversary of Black Wednesday. On October the 19th, 1977, the apartheid regime outlawed a number of publications supportive of the Black Consciousness Movement and arrested editors and journalists. As Subri Govinda reports, some are marking the occasion by questioning whether media freedoms are as robust as they should be in modern-day South Africa.
There are growing concerns in South Africa that the media freedom prevalent today is facing a serious threat, 2 decades after the country ushered in a non-racial and democratic government. That is because only a signature from President Jacob Zuma is keeping the secrecy bill from being turned into law. The government says it needs the legislation to prohibit the publication of sensitive information, but media practitioners, opposition parties, non-governmental and human rights organizations believe the latest move is mainly meant to stop the publication of corruption and other malpractices within government.
The present draconian laws that have been introduced by government will be a complete diversion and obstruction to the democratic process that we have achieved in 1994.
Desmond Dessin is an executive official of the Right to Know organization. It was established in 2010 after the government first introduced the Protection of Information Bill. Desmond Dessin says they are very concerned by the government of President Zuma, which they accuse of wanting to stifle media freedom.
We are on record saying that the moment that secrecy bill is signed, we will challenge it in the Constitution, all the way to the Constitutional Court, and we're absolutely sure that we will win because it goes against the freedoms enshrined in the Constitution of this country.
The South African National Editors Forum, or SANEF, is one of the journalist organizations that has been in the forefront of the struggles against the threat to media freedom. Miss Judy Sanderson, a veteran journalist who has been both a radio and television reporter and editor for the past 40 years, is a senior executive member of SANEF.
It is a serious concern for SANEF. For example, in SANEF we've had many meetings with the various ministers of justice over the years. We have had some changes after meetings with various government ministries in relation to the secrecy bill. Some changes were made, but we're still not happy with it. It's very restrictive.
Mr. Shlanganipo Zulu, 58, is a senior journalist who has experienced the oppression of the media prior to 1994. Zulu is now the regional editor of the state SABC broadcaster in the KwaZulu-Natal province of South Africa.
The most worry that we have as journalists is that information is often difficult to get because it is restricted. Issues of corruption and many more other things, where that is rife, and you would find a situation whereby you may not necessarily be able to publish things without confrontation with the powers that be.
That report was compiled by Subri Govinda. And now it's time for us to join the Learning by Ear team and find out what has been happening to the Crossroads generation.
Deutsche Welle, Learning by Ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hello again. Glad to have you back for Crossroads Generation, our radio drama about a group of young Africans.
We're standing at the crossroads. We're looking for our way. Crossroads Generation, our future starts today.
We've just started our third season. Last time, Mercy and Trudy seemed to be enjoying their first day at university. And they made a new friend, Tina, who is studying journalism with them. Mercy earned herself a brand new nickname when her mother called her in the middle of their first lecture.
All mobile phones should be switched off during my class. Is that clear?
Yes. Sorry, Professor.
So what is journalism? You sitting next to Miss Rington.
Nikki Jumbe, who used to go to high school with Mercy and Trudy, is studying health and nutrition at the same university. We also met Mercy's family again. Her mother, Lulu, is looking after Mercy's little daughter, Linda, while Mercy goes to university. Lulu threw Mercy's father, Msoto, out a long time ago.
My wife, please. I am so sorry I sold our baby girl to Mkaraba. But they've said we have a real chance of getting her back.
Go, Msoto, before I call the police.
Right.
And don't come back here again.
But Msoto has come back. What does he want? We're about to find out in today's episode, A Changed Man.
So, Msoto, the boys have gone out and Linda's asleep. Tell me, what brings you here from whatever hole you've been hiding in for the past 3 years?
Lulu, I see you have a TV these days. Your vegetable business must be doing well, huh?
My business is none of your business, Msoto. Why are you here? You went to stay with the Jumbe family after the police released you 3 years ago. And then you disappeared to look for work up country. So why on earth have you come back now?
Is she Masis? The little one on the bed?
Msoto, what do you want?
Can't a man visit his wife without wanting something?
I told you years ago, I'm not your wife anymore.
Well, I haven't seen the divorce papers, so as far as I am concerned, you're still my wife.
Is that what brought you all the way from God knows where?
Lulu, I have to tell you, since I became enlightened by the Almighty King Karubu, I'm a changed man.
A changed man indeed. A man who doesn't even know his own grandchild. Spare me this nonsense. And who's this king you're talking about?
King Karubu is the...
Oh, why did I even ask? Look, I don't have time for this. Leave us alone.
I came to testify against Mkaraba.
What?
I'm not allowed to talk about it, as the investigations are still ongoing. But Inspector Mary contacted me and offered me a deal. She said she can't promise anything for sure, but that it looks good, and that...
What deal, Msoto?
I testify against Mkaraba in return for immunity, and a chance to get our baby back.
You dare to talk to me about our baby who you sold to that man, Mkaraba, all those years ago?
We needed the money.
You needed the money for drink.
But...
Out. Go on, get out.
Come on.
Get out.
Lulu, please.
Get out.
Nikki, it's nice that you came to visit me here at home. How's university?
Fine.
Let me turn on the radio. I like to listen to that new program on the elections.
Okay, Dad.
Please give me some water, Nikki. I'm so thirsty today. Oh, thank you.
Have you finished eating already?
Yes. You know, I'm on my diet.
But, Dad, I told you...
Let me listen to this.
A debate in which the election candidates explain their agenda to you, the voters.
This sounds interesting.
Today, we are privileged to have with us an aspiring member of parliament for the community of Tandika in the upcoming elections, the Honorable Moses Mkaraba.
Mkaraba.
Mr. This Mkaraba man just can't get enough. Has declared his interest in standing for the Tandika parliamentary seat in the elections in 3 months' time. Huh? The question we are asking him today is why he thinks he's qualified to lead us. Mr. Mkaraba?
Well, I have been a councillor before, of course. The people of Tandika have already seen what I have done for them.
What has he done?
Why should we trust you with our vote?
I will fast track the construction of roads, improve the education system, and fight against corruption and illegal
business. Fight corruption, indeed.
And those are just some of my plan. I also intend to improve the security of the people of this country. I will fight
always the same promises. I can't listen to it anymore.
Dad, just calm down.
Hey, Mercy. Or should I say Miss Rington? What did our professor say again about the definition of journalism?
Trudy, if you insist on calling me that, I won't tell you a thing.
Come on, Rington. Help out a friend.
For your information, Tina, my friends call me Mercy.
Mm. Okay. Oh, hang on. I remember it now.
Mm-hmm. What?
Journalism is the art of gathering and disseminating information.
Wrong.
What? No.
way. You forgot to add something. Gathering and disseminating information to a mass audience.
Ah, I was so close.
Mm-hmm. Serves you right for not taking notes.
Hey, you're the one who got a phone call during the lecture.
Listen, you two are the ones interrupting my private time in my room. I have to catch the bus to my mom's place. I need to see Linda. And at this time of day, the journey could take hours. I really need to get going.
Yeah, I'm going to go home too. I live an hour away from the university. My brother and sisters will be waiting for me already.
No, no, no. Come on, you two. Marcy, your daughter is just fine with her grandmother. I have a better idea.
What?
Let's dance! Ooh. Don't you have some music here, Marcy? Dance?
Yes.
You girls clearly have too much time on your hands. You need something to keep you busy. A job or something.
Yeah, you're right, Marcy. I hate it that all we do is sit and take notes. We need to put what we're learning into practice. No thanks. I already have a job.
What job?
What job, Tina? None of your business.
Hey, ringtone! Your boyfriend's calling.
Oh, who's your boyfriend? Is he the father of your child?
No! That guy took off a long time ago. My boyfriend's called Nikki.
Oh.
But that's not him. I don't know this number.
Really?
Hello? Dad? What? Where are you? Here at the university? Well, I don't have much time. Okay. I don't believe this.
Your dad? I thought he left a long time ago.
Well, it seems he's back and he wants to see me.
Hi there. A bottle of soda, please.
There you go. Shall I open it for you?
Yes, please. Thank you.
Anything else?
No, I just need something to drink while I wait for my daughter.
Hmm?
She's at the university here.
Hi, Dad.
Hey, Marcy, my daughter. Come here, give me a hug.
I don't know.
You look good. I am very proud of you.
Wow. You never told me that before. Where have you been all this time, Dad?
Up country, but now I'm back in town.
Just like that?
Well, I came back because of your sister.
My sister?
Marcy, you are an adult now, and I don't think we should keep this from you anymore. Your baby sister didn't die after your mother gave birth to her. She's alive, and
I know. You sold her. Mom told me everything back then. So unless there's anything else you have to say, just leave me alone.
Hey, Marcy. Hey, wait. Did your mother also tell you that she was part of the plan?
What?
Marcy can't believe her ears. Is her father telling the truth? Be sure to tune in next time to find out how the story continues. Link up with us on dw.de/LBE if you want to know more about Crossroads Generation. You can also follow us on Facebook. Until then, bye for now.
And there'll be another chance to hear that edition of Crossroads Generation at the same time on Thursday. A reminder of our main stories. In Botswana, President Ngahama has been re-elected, the ruling BDP party having secured a parliamentary majority. We've also been hearing about a public sector workers' strike in Ghana and looking into the state of media freedom in South Africa. And there we come to the end of this edition of Africa Link. I do hope you enjoyed the programme and will want to tune in again at the same time tomorrow morning. If you'd like to get in touch with us, then please send a text message to 491609575950, an email to feedback.africa@dw.de, or a letter to Africa Link DW 53110 Bonn, Germany. Thank you for listening. This is Mark Caldwell in Bonn.